Today's episode is brought to you by Snack Nation Market. Visit snacknation.com/AO to get a free box of the most delicious healthy snacks around. That's snacknation.com/AO.
What's more important than employee engagement?
I'm going to have a conversation with you about the people stuff.
How do you create an awesome office?
Because we all deal with the people stuff.
Awesome office is many things.
Hire culture before you hire skills.
See, we're going to build teams that don't let each other fail.
It's the Awesome Office Show, the podcast that's all about leading people, creating cultures, and inspiring awesome. And now your host, Sean Kelly.
Hello there, everyone. I hope this episode finds you enjoying the start to your holiday season. I know we certainly are here at Snack Nation. Such a delicious and loving time of the year. Isn't that right, Jeff? Right? So delicious. Speaking of delicious, we have a delicious entrepreneur on the show today, and that is Ginny Simon, the CEO and founder of Ginny Bakes. Ginny is a certified holistic nutritionist, and also Inc. rated her as number 18 on their list of the top 50 female CEOs in the country. Why is that? Well, like I said, she runs Ginny Bakes, which is a gluten-free organic baking mix and cookie company, amongst other things. This was a really fun episode to experience and to interview with Ginny, not just because Ginny Bakes is a partner of Snack Nation, and we integrate a lot of their products into some of our various assortments, but because we dive into a really interesting topic that we really haven't discussed on this show before, and that is the topic of having your spouse as a business partner. Ginny talks about the trials, the tribulations, and the joys of integrating her husband as a business partner after having a lifelong career as a lawyer just 1.5 years into the business. She talks about the great points, the fantastic moments of growing Ginny Bakes, as well as the lows, and how going into business with her hubby has ended up leading her marriage to the best place it's ever been. I hope you enjoy this episode. It was certainly fun. It was different. I bring to you Ginny Simon, the CEO of Ginny Bakes from Miami, Florida. Ginny, welcome to the show. It's fantastic having you on today.
I'm so honored. I'm so excited to be on.
And I'm a little bit sad because I feel like the audience would really benefit from me like crunching into a Ginny Bakes cookie whenever I'm speaking.
I wish I could have made that happen for you. I would have been so happy to.
No, you know what? We have tons of Ginny Bakes. I think Ginny's in an upcoming Snack Nation assortment box. I don't know exactly which one, but I think in December. So that should have been very easy for me to get my hands on. I'm going to blame it on Jeff. I blame all of those kind of things on Jeff here.
As long as you don't blame it on me, we're all good.
No, absolutely not. So Ginny, you've built up what you've had Ginny Bakes. Your name's Ginny, last name's Simon. You've had the company for what? Started about six years ago or so?
It started in 2010, but it really got into its first stores in 2011. I went back to school and became a holistic nutritionist in 2009 and started a parent company called Mindful Organics that led into Ginny Bakes. So there was a pre-starter to it, and then Ginny Bakes occurred, and then I started really at home working on Ginny Bakes, figuring out how to make a bake mix company. It was originally a bake mix company. I could give you the whole story. It started... I have four children. I'm the mother of four sons.
Four sons. Well, you got your hands full.
Yeah, I know. And I really love being a full-time mom. So when the boys started to get into high school, I knew that I needed to do something else as well to fulfill myself, which I knew I always wanted to do. I used to always kid with my husband. You know, we met young, and I used to say, when I grow up, I wonder what I'm going to do. But I really wanted to be like the most... To mother in a really certain fashion and way that I felt like I gave everything, and that my kids would have the best of us and this amazing family life. And I really was very extremely focused on them, as well as having my, you know, I'm a yogi and all different other interests, but I was really focused on the four guys, and they were only 6 years apart, top to bottom. So it was pretty intense years. And then when I was ready to do something else, kind of was trying to figure out like what I would want. And so I couldn't figure it out. And I really thought about it for a couple of years. And then I finally decided to kind of put my interests together, which are, I really love people. I love being around people. I'm a people person. My husband always says, yeah, you're good alone as long as you're surrounded by a lot of people. I really love people. I love conversation. I love food. I love teaching about food. I've given cooking classes and bread making classes and challah making classes. And so I thought I could touch upon something with food and with people. And I've also been extraordinarily into, for forever, a really, really healthy lifestyle. I believe very strongly in living and eating very organically as much as possible. So what I put into my body was primarily organic produce way before it was popular. And so I thought, you know what, I could teach people about how to eat well, how to live well, how to shop at the stores, how to have a basic education in clean eating. And so I went back to, I went to school at the Institute of Integrative Nutrition in New York City. And I started a really nice holistic nutrition counseling here in my home. I made a home office, and I love that. And then I decided that as I was teaching people and they were journaling for me and we were talking about clean eating and all this, I'm also very much a home baker, and I've always had this cake plate. As a matter of fact, for the holidays this year, each of my boys is getting their own cake plate. So this cake plate signified a lot in our life. It was always on the counter.
What's a cake plate?
A cake plate is like it's on a pedestal. Ours is. It's stainless steel and it has a top. And I always, in my countertop, ever since the kids were like born, would have fresh baked goods on the kitchen counter. And I always wanted that from when I was like a teenager. I thought it was like signifies nurturing and conversation. And I wanted a home with a lot of dogs and kids and food. Like that food that would like embrace people and bring them in. So I've always had this cake plate. And when people from my holistic nutritional counseling would come in and I'd be talking to them, and I'd also give them a lot of the time cooking classes. And they always saw this fresh baked goods on the counter that was done organically. And a lot of people do not like to be to bake. They feel intimidated by it. But it's something that I really enjoy. So I didn't want to start baking for people again. I've already done that. I really loved my counseling. So I decided that I would create this bake mixes. Or first I thought I would find it online, some bake mixes I could recommend to people that would shorten their baking and make it easier for them to have fresh baked smells coming from their house. And I was looking for an organic one. And at that point, I wanted to start getting into gluten-free. I ended up with a trail of people that had celiac disease and people that just were gluten intolerant. So keeping those people in mind, as well as the ones that just wanted something organic, I decided to look for a bake mix that would complete the needs for everyone, and I couldn't find it. So I decided to create a bake mix company myself, not realizing it was going to be such a big deal. So I called it Ginny Bakes and figured out with a lot of help and research how to put all the ingredients in the bags in the right order. And when people came in for a nutrition counseling, it was kind of silly and a little crazy. I would hand them a bake mix as well. Like, oh, look, this is, you know, my new bake mix. This will be easy for you if you want to. So as they're coming in for healthy living, I'm also always sending them home with a bake mix. And that's, it was kind of crazy. And so those were like the preliminary thoughts of Ginny Bakes and the very start of like just a seed of doing something in the food world.
Now, when did you know that Ginny Bakes had the chance to be something bigger, to be a larger business? I mean, now you have 35 employees, you're in over 3,000 retail stores and doors across the country, you're experiencing year-over-year growth of 300%. I mean, when did you start to have this semblance and understanding, you know what, we might have something here?
I would say it was probably in April of 2011. I was sitting across from a very dear friend of mine, and I said to her, I just wish I would have a chance that I knew some kind of connection to get a break into like a chain store, like a really big market, because I had already gotten myself into little markets around my home and in Miami Beach and in Miami generally, but I didn't have the outreach of how to take it further, and I do not come from this field whatsoever, and I wasn't sure how to do it. So my girlfriend, very calmly, one of my very best friends, without, like, I said to her, I just wish I had a connection. And she goes, oh, I have one for you. My girlfriend's husband works for Fresh Market. His name is Eddie Neems. Maybe you could take his product, your product up there. And I did. And Eddie fell in love with the product, and he sent it up to their national headquarters. And their national headquarters decided to carry Ginny Bakes. And they told me that I'd be in one store for probably 3 to 4 months, and then we would see how it went. But within probably 4 weeks, I was given 3 stores, and it just kept rapidly growing until I had all of Dade and Broward County. And I had a feeling at that point that maybe this was going to be something, and I was definitely driven to make it happen.
So when you look back and you look at these last 6 years, I'm not talking about current challenges, but really in terms of getting to this place where you're at now, what has been the greatest challenge? What is something that you did not expect to be so difficult and really was?
Well, I could say the most basic thing in the world, and it's the truth. I was such a neophyte, and I really just believed that if I wanted this to happen, that it would happen. And I remember saying, like, yeah, if I get my bake mixes, because at the time it was bake mixes, whereas now it's cookies, if I get them onto a grocery store shelf, I'm never going to let anything happen to them. They're going to stay on that shelf. I'm going to demo. I'm going to make sure it happens. And I guess the most difficult thing is I had such a simplistic view of what building a company would be. You know, it was just so simplistic. And I think I've learned so much, and I think there's a huge sense of fulfillment that comes with thinking something would be kind of easy and then realizing along the way that it's not, and you dig in for the struggle and for the fulfillment.
So beyond the everyday persistence, right? And just the fact that if you want something, you know, done right, it may be 3 to 5 times or 10 times more difficult than you expect. Is there any one lesson that you take away and say, now I understand this and now I get it. And if I knew this 6 years ago, man, it would have made this so much easier.
God, if I had known, I think the biggest learning curve that I should have gotten, that I wish I'd gotten earlier, is not to try and figure out this whole business on your own, but to bring people in that were experienced in the field right off the bat. And instead of having the thought process that you can't afford this mentor, this advisor, this person that comes on board as a like a COO or a CFO, or to look at it like you can't afford it, I really should have looked at it like I can't afford not to. Because if I was to learn anything, that would be the thing that I would learn. Quit the startup and getting in the right people is the most important person. And to take experience that what I'm doing isn't so original. So many people have come before me and have created different food businesses, that best to always go with somebody that has the experience and can guide you instead of trying to figure out it all out by yourself.
I love that. It's almost like the less experience you have, the more assistance and mentorship and people you should have to surround you. But many times that's backwards, right, Jenny? I mean, it's very easy for an experienced professional or entrepreneur that's had 5, 10 businesses to reach out for help, right, when they're starting their new thing. But for whatever reason, when you start for the first time, it's like that's when you're most apprehensive, yet that's actually when you should be most courageous and most willing to ask those questions and ask for that help.
You know, you're absolutely right. But I think what happens is that, one, you're not sure what you're asking for, because there's so much, like from distribution to brokers to are you going to go and become a national product, or should you work region by region? And you don't know enough, I think, at the beginning to even sort out what you need. It's just so overwhelming. And so I think that's the common mistake, that you're just not sure how to get or who to reach out to. If you're not from the business, to find those people that are connected into the business, especially when I started, it just wasn't an entrepreneurial spirit in Miami at the time. Now there certainly is. We didn't have a lot of incubator areas, and it was hard to find those people. Whereas now, once you're experienced and you're in the business, you understand how to find them, who to go to, what to look for, what you need. But it is funny, the less experience you have and the more you need help, the harder it is to find.
Because you don't, yeah, I love it. You don't know what you don't know. But if you find yourself in a place where you don't know what you don't know, that's when it's okay to reach out for experience, for expertise, and just to say, listen, I don't even know exactly where I need help, but I know I need yours.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. So what do you think? I mean, the food business is very particular and very specific. You've now been in it for, you know, about 6 years. What do you think is the most backwards thing about the nutrition, the food business? What is the thing that if you had known, you know, kind of earlier that the food business went along these lines, you'd have been like, no way, that just doesn't make sense. Does anything stand out to you?
Well, I remember at the very beginning when gluten-free wasn't even known, and I took, you know, it just wasn't a big deal then. And I remember like people actually saying to me like, ugh, like I'd be demoing, ugh, I'm allergic to gluten-free, or why would I ever want to eat something like that? Or now trying to reach consumers and say, healthy food, food that's a mindful indulgence, which is what we say, that doesn't mean that we punish you by losing any flavor or taste. Things that are clean and real taste extraordinary. But you fight against this preconceived notion, and we're still in this country fighting it, still today in 2016, that there's something wrong or that it can't be as good if it's healthy. And that's the biggest battle that we had was, do we describe our cookies as outrageously delicious? Do we describe them as gluten-free or organic or non-GMO? And what's most important, and how do we talk to our consumers so they understand that we are delicious, but we also have your back and we are passionate about what we do. So it's kind of, it's always been fighting this fear that people have that healthy food can't be, and it's still a cookie. What we sell is still a cookie. It's just a cookie that everything in it, your body recognizes as real food. And so I think that's been my biggest battle, our biggest battle at Jenny Bakes Organics, is teaching people clean, good food is its own indulgence. It's not a deprivation. If anything, it's like, I would feel deprived if I was putting junk into my system versus putting clean food in and knowing that this is the most beautiful thing I can do, and it makes me feel outrageously wonderful. Mm. So I would say it's the battle is definitely the thought processes of the consumer.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing that we've gotten to a place where fake food is expected to be more delicious than real food.
Isn't it? It's just such a shame. And I think there's a movement that we're definitely in. Obviously, we're in a great movement forward. It's slower than I would have hoped, but we're in a great place. But it's a constant movement forward of following and understanding what's a trend, what's real, and teaching. Like, people used to say, well, gluten-free is a trend. Well, it's not really a trend. It's just taking out gluten out of a product that we don't need. Mm-hmm. Makes our food a little more like what your grandma's did. We're kind of baking the way your grandma baked. We're just kind of clean and real and healthy. And there's just this understanding to the consumer that that's what you should be eating. And it takes nothing away from the value and the deliciousness of a product.
Yeah. It's like, if an ingredient or a food provides you no value, it doesn't matter how allergic you are to it. I mean, gluten, right, creates, no matter what degree of gluten sensitivity you have, and everybody, I believe, has some, gluten creates inflammation in your gut. I mean, it would be good for everybody to not eat gluten, but people think about gluten-free as, you know, again, still, you know, you got to be on the precipice. You got to be in the top 10% of health conscious consumers.
Yeah. And people still today say to you, so many people, you know, I actually tried your cookie because I was at maybe a tailgate or this or that, or we had a demo going. And they say, otherwise I never really would have, because when I hear gluten-free, I would think it would taste like cardboard. And so that's what you're dealing with, some of mainstream America deals with. And so for us, we've accented at this point our flavor profile, and we have all of our attributes on our box, you know, from the non-GMO and the organic and the gluten-free. We also happen to be kosher. We have a vegan line. So we now accentuate our taste, and then we know that the people that it's important to are going to look for all of our certifications. And that those that aren't in for it, I'm hoping that we're a bridge product, that if you were going for conventional and you accidentally picked up our box without thinking about it and you tried it, you would say, wow, this is an amazing cookie. It tastes great. And I could still be healthy, still have my treat. So hopefully we're causing a movement in and of our own self in our little area of the food world that, hey, it's okay to be healthier, to move in that direction.
You guys are definitely, as a consumer of your product, you are definitely a gateway drug.
That's what we hope to be, is always a gateway.
I love it. Okay, so beyond that lesson, what is the worst? What was the most difficult, challenging, or worst moment in growing this business? Does any particular event or mindset stand out to you when you're just like, ugh, I don't know if I can do this any further, or I don't know how I'm going to be able to solve this?
Oh my God, there's been so many times along the years. I think one time very early on, we had a product that turned on us. It was a fragile ingredient, and it was like all of a sudden realizing like you didn't have it as perfectly down as you thought, and you realize that food is really a live thing. Like if you look at your blueberries that spoil, you're like, ah, you know, that's part of what it is. You know, they turn bad sometimes. Well, in the baking world, you can't allow that to happen. And when that happened to me, I think I almost lost my mind, like with worrying and we were very small. We were so new that we were very able to overcome it very quickly and learn about all kinds of, you know, ways to, the most difficult thing was figuring out how to get the shelf life to where it should be. And keeping it as super clean a product as possible. That was one of my greatest difficulties in Miami. You know, we really want to be Miami, locally made in Miami. We have a lot of high humidity, hurts the baking process. It's a difficult thing to figure out and to train and to teach. Listen, it was difficult to walk into a commercial kitchen the first time and look at machinery, that you look at your little mixer in your kitchen and then you look at one that you could actually sit in the bowl of and you're supposed to know how to work it or how to run it or start playing with what your doughs that you played with at home and realizing that this everything that you wanted in your product now has to go out to a more major audience. And there's so many all of a sudden learning lessons in how to get that product multiplied by so much, keeping the cost down so the consumer can actually have it and yet keep your belief system intact that the things that are in your cookies, you want them in your cookies. And at the beginning, I had to change things. I had dry blueberries and goji berries and hazelnuts and all kinds of things that if I stuck my principles that these things were going to stay in, then I couldn't have gotten them to the marketplace. And my cookies belong in the marketplace. So it's all of a sudden saying, like, that was a difficult thing for me to realize that I had outpriced myself and that you have to work and reach balances within yourself that you find acceptable to make sure that your product actually can get that out there and that you're not your worst enemy by being so stubborn as to how many, you know, like I would want to load everything in there. And you can't. You have to be very smart about making sure your product is priced so people can actually get it, enjoy it, and eat it, and know that everything that you put in that cookie is perfect and was meant to be in there and be able to sell it for a fair price.
Hey guys, a quick pause to introduce you to Snack Nation Market. I'm so fired up about this because for the past few years, Snack Nation has been available only to businesses. And now it's available for homes and awesome individuals too. Snack Nation Market brings health and taste conscious folks expertly curated boxes of the most delicious, innovative, and healthier snacks right to your darn doorstep. With Snack Nation, there's no more worrying about having a weak, unhealthy, and tasteless snack game. We've secured a special offer for the listeners of this show. You can try Snack Nation for free. Just visit snacknation.com/AO right now and get your first box free. Just cover shipping and handling. That's snacknation.com/AO. One more time, snacknation.com/A as in awesome, O as in office. You know that there's going to be consistent challenges. I mean, that just is what happens, right, with scaling and changing a business. What do you do from a mindset and from a kind of personal perseverance perspective to be ready for those challenges? Because, you know, again, you don't know what you don't know, and you certainly can't anticipate all of them. Anything particular you do? Yep.
Well, I meditate. I'm a strong believer in meditation. I'm a huge yogi and have been for forever. So I meditate. I run. I cook. I listen to music. I have three dogs. We take them to the beach, go for long walks with them. If we have the opportunity to take them on a great hike outside of Florida, we do that up to the Carolinas. But in an everyday practice, it's really listening to music and cooking or meditating or yoga 1,000% or a great run. I also, like, I'm in a workout maniac, so I go to the office after I work out. I do a workout every morning, 6 days a week, and that's just part of who I am.
Mm-hmm. And especially if you're eating all those cookies, you know, you got to do a little
bit of
workout.
We do, but luckily for me, I don't. You know, when you work with cookies, it's okay on the days that you don't eat them because you don't want to eat cookies every day, so it works out okay. So you keep them. You know what? I taste them; they don't stick to the body.
I can totally relate. You know, at Snack Nation, we have millions of snacks here. And so my snack consumption, at home has gone down dramatically since I have them so much here. And so I totally understand. And you know, you've talked a lot, Jenny, about family, family and how, and obviously how important it is to you. Now I understand that, is it true that both your husband and son work in the business today?
It is very true, and I can't believe it myself, actually. But yeah, my husband works there, my son Michael works there. My husband came on a year and a half after I started Jenny Bakes. He was a full-time practicing attorney for 26 years.
Wow.
Yeah, really wow. And he's not a guy that loves change, and he's probably not your typical entrepreneurial kind of spirit kind of person. He likes logistics and likes things...
So take me through that conversation. When he was speaking with you, you were speaking with him about when you guys decided to basically go into business and work together a year and a half in. I mean, what was the conversation like?
Well, first, I'll tell you our initial conversation, which is really, I think, why this company still exists. As a full-time mom of these four kids, as you know, I told my husband I was going to start a bake mix company. And he says to me, you know, Jenny, that's not probably something you want to do. Business can be hard and not every day will be fun. And I looked at him like, are you crazy? I've raised four sons. I mean, I think, you know, like what? So I took it as a personal challenge that this thing would take off. And my husband did not really want Jenny Bakes. He liked a traditional marriage. He liked the way his life was until all of a sudden he started to see my passion and the passion for the product. And I think he just kind of started to fall in love with what we were doing because he would come and demo with me every weekend. We were in the stores demoing. And there became a point where I realized that I could no longer handle it on my own. I am also not on the business side of it. I really, and I had to be at that point, but I'm not good at it at all. I'm much more on the creative side, and I'm the food product and making sure, you know, all the different recipes and the creations of things. But in terms of logistical stuff, and at this point we're starting to distribute into further, not nationwide, but quite a bit of distribution was going on, which, you know, leads you into so much. It got very complicated. So I asked him whether he would come into business with me. And he ignored me. And then one night we're at this.
For how long did he ignore you?
Oh, God, for like 6 months. And then finally one night I lost it kind of in a way at a lacrosse game. My parents were with us. My husband was sitting on one side of my parents and I on the other. And I was pretending to talk to them, but I was directing the whole conversation at my husband, like, yeah, I need help. And no one seems to understand that. And I need help. I need a partner. I need somebody in with me. And this isn't going away. And he didn't say anything at the lacrosse game. And when we got home that night, we were alone. Kids were asleep or whatever. He was like, okay, so what do you want? And I said, I need you to come in with me. And he goes, leave my whole practice. And I was like, well, because we were looking at a point where we were going to start to slow down, spend a little more time out in the mountains. And like, this was our dream. And all of a sudden I'm saying that I'm not ready to for that dream. I'm ready to build a business and I really want a partner and I want you to be my partner. So he said that he would think about it, but he wanted to go with me to a big food show. It's called Expo East. And he wanted to see how the public would react to Ginny Bakes. And at this point, we're already cookies. We've turned the product from baked mixes to baked mixes and cookies. And we went to the show, and he says, I'll let you know after the show how I feel about it. So we're at the show, and people come by, and they ask about your product, and they taste your cookies, and then they'd walk by. But people kept doing a double take. They'd taste the cookies, and they'd come back to the table, and then they'd start talking to us about it. My husband said after that, he realized that there was a place at the table for Ginny Bakes, that this could be something really fantastic. And my husband is honestly one of the nicest, most incredible people you'll ever meet in your life. And he said that he had had his business career and that if I was this passionate about it, and we both knew I always wanted some sense of fulfillment besides being a wife and a mom, that if I was this passionately into it, then he was going to come along. So it took him another 6 months to wind down his law practice and finish his cases and give away cases and close it up. And it was like a kind of a process. And as he was doing that, he was coming into Ginny Bakes. And here he was working downtown in tall glass building, anything to eat on the street, the guy that will wash your car in the garage if you want. He comes to my office, and it's in the middle of a – Ginny Bakes is not in a fancy area. We're in a warehouse area near the Miami International Airport. There's nothing around us at all. The streets get muddy when it rains. Our first office that I – the first place that I had was like down in – I don't say dirty in the sense of dirty, but like gritty. And just – it was – you know, he went from suits and polished shoes to jeans and sneakers and a flannel shirt and –
yeah, this
life
isn't
is so different.
This wasn't yeah. this wasn't Bicknell, right? Is it what is it down in Miami? Down the main street there?
Oh, Brickell.
Brickell, right? Brickell.
Yeah, this is not Brickell. This is as far from Brickell as you can possibly imagine. And I felt so bad for him. And I tried like to, you know, fill his drawer with his favorite snacks. But it was like funny at this really quiet private office, you know, where he worked. And here in my, he ended up by having to share my office. So we got this double desk and there's two doors in and out. And the bakers would come in and people would come in with questions. And he was like, where are all these people coming from? It was such a challenge at the beginning having him start with me. He didn't like the change, but yet he did what he wanted to. I wanted him there so badly, but yet so possessive. Like, oh my God, did I become so territorial and possessive over Ginny Bakes the minute, Ginny Bakes Organics, the minute he stepped in, I was like, don't touch this. You can't do this. It's like, and I watched myself and I was so shocked, you know, and I think he was shocked too.
Oh, now that's wonderful. I love that story. How is it, you know, for obviously every relationship's different. But how has it altered your marriage? How has it altered your relationship? Obviously I'm sure challenging, very challenging in the beginning, but looking back now over what, the last 4 or 5 years, how has it altered things?
I'm going to tell you, at the beginning, I was so appreciative of him coming in once I got used to it. And then as you're growing a business, it became dark for a while, trying to figure out how to make it all work, super stressful, funding. Got to be a very, very dark period, and we would look at it in very different ways. He had a lot of anxiety towards it, and I had just total belief that this was always going to be, that this company was supposed to be here, and it would be here, and I wanted to really enjoy the ride. And his doubts, which were very valid, and you have to have the balance, and we're a great balance to each other, but I didn't want to hear his balance at the time. I wanted just to see the sunny side. And so it was difficult on both of us tremendously for a while. I'm more of a risk taker. I felt he was holding back. And it was probably, and very candidly, an extremely difficult, probably the most difficult time in our marriage. And I always knew we'd make it, 'cause I think we're just one of these couples that really belong together. But it was a really hard, hard struggle. Where we are today is, I can honestly tell you, from the bottom of my heart, we're just really awesome, and we're so awesome because it's a really clean understanding of who each other is. A total, we get each other 1,000%. We've been through, we've raised the four kids. We've been doing this business with heartache and great days, with mixtures of everything. And when you've come through so much together and you just can put your hand in his and say, my God, look what we've done. He's my everything. He's just an amazing guy. We know each other intimately and beyond through every kind of day and every kind of thing and how we handle things. And I think that we have probably, I don't know that we've had a fantastic marriage, but I don't think that we would ever be at the place we are today with each other, where we understand that no matter what, like, the greatest thing that ever happened for each of us was finding the other.
That is awesome. I love it. Now, what would you give any advice to individuals, whether it's the husband or wife, looking to bring their partner in, or to couples looking to start a business together? Any advice in terms of how to set yourself up for success?
Yeah, I think, one, you have to be very, very clear on whose roles and what your roles are. We don't play into the same roles. We have different sides of the business, and I'm not sitting in his office. I'm not in the office every day. My work is inside the office a tremendous amount and outside the office, whereas he's primarily there each day, always, all day. So our roles are different in terms of our everyday and what we're doing for the business, which I think is important. The other thing is, like, we had a lot of boundaries. There's a certain point in the evening where the emails go off, because if one of us is sitting there playing with the emails or the, you know, texting back and forth with the office, or it doesn't, when you're a partner and you're both working together, that doesn't allow the other partner to feel off. So you have to have, like, kind of a boundary as to when you're partners and when you're just husband and wife. And it's the same thing with my son. I mean, he's my son, and I love him to death. At the office, I'm the CEO of Jenny Bakes. Do you separate that out? Super hard. But when you have a lot of people that are working in the office, you can't separate yourself off as to, this is my child and he can't have different treatment or this and that. We're just really more focused on the business. But as I've become more experienced with it, and more, really even more recently, I want to make sure that my son understands that I will love him to death through everything, and that he's my son, you know. So no, he can never be like everyone else. He's just extraordinary. So I guess the way I would say, it's obviously most people don't also have a son, but I think for family, it's roles, it's boundaries, it's understanding when you're a family and when you're a husband and wife and when you're at work, and not everything works for everybody, and you have to really have clear understanding of how you're going to proceed forward, and what might work at the beginning doesn't work later. Like, my son didn't like to talk about business ever outside, like, the office. Well, there became a point where that doesn't happen. We're running a business, we're family, we're entrepreneurs. It kind of goes round the clock. It's not always what we would want to be, and we try and honor that it's not, when we can be not. And we're also, like, when Steve and I, my husband and I are out, we talk about just life, and we don't focus on the business after hours. That's, you know, that's our other part of life, because you can't live it and breathe it 24/7. After that first year and a half, 2 years, you have to build another life as well. Otherwise, it can become too much.
That's wonderful. I love the specific roles, right? Roles and understandings and expectations are so important in everything.
And communication, constant communication. What works, what doesn't.
Constant, perpetual communication. Well, speaking of communication, I want to wrap this up, Jenny, with a minute of magic segment, where I'm just asking you quick, rapid fire questions, and you're answering them as succinctly as possible. Are you ready to rock?
Okay.
In one sentence, what does balanced life mean to you?
In one sentence, it means that I feel very whole, and that my family life, my work life, and my social, my friends, are all beautifully cared for.
What's the best business advice you've ever received?
Don't take your eye off the ball. Never take your eye off the ball.
Does anything ring the bell when I say, what's the worst business advice you've received?
Worst business advice? Oh my, you know, worst business advice I think is that we didn't have enough knowledge to do this ourselves and should sell it to somebody else instead of having the staying power to try and make it and learn it and do it, because it's been a huge fulfillment for us.
What's the number one lesson you've learned from your husband as you guys have been business partners?
Patience, processing things for a while, and being very slow to make, not slow, but really thinks through things before coming to any kind of conclusion. And I really appreciate that more and more over my professional and my personal life.
Top lesson you've learned from your son?
From my son. Oh my God, I've learned so much from my son. I would say that fairness, a belief system that he has that he never lets down in, and the process of always learning. He's always interested in learning the next step.
And lastly, you have a pretty large social following, Jenny. I want you to list what your various social handles are, and also let us know, how have you built that large following, and how has that served you and your business up until this point?
We have a social media following on Facebook and Jenny Bakes, social, Instagram, Twitter, all under Jenny Bakes. I have a personal one, Jenny Simon, that ties me into Jenny Bakes as well. I think that the way to raise social media is consistency, follow through, and connecting with the people that follow you to make them feel like they are your tribe and you are invested with them and they are invested with you. When you have these social media accounts, these people actually become part of your community of living. And when I was at Expo East or I'm at Expo West, I have these people that I actually know their handles or know their pictures from all of their Instagrams or their Facebooks, and they come and they visit, and it becomes a huge part of your community. And social media is extremely important for a company. It lets you reach your audience and communicate with them, and they communicate back, and they're really give you such amount of information that you need.
Any last words, Jenny? This has been a lot of fun with you. Anything else you'd like to say to our fantastic and awesome audience?
Yeah, I would say never be afraid to step out of the box and go for something. So many people don't because they're afraid. They don't know the end game. Go for the journey. Live it. Try it. Don't worry about the end. Just get out there and do it.
I love it, Jenny. Thank you for sharing your inspiring, real, and authentic journey with us today. It's been an awesome pleasure having you on the show. I'm now going to crush some of your cookies. and just so happy that that Jenny Bakes is an awesome partner of Snack Nations. We wish you nothing but the best, and we'll certainly be cheering, not from the sidelines, but cheering within the framework of the field. So thanks again for joining us.
Thank you so very much. You have no idea. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care, Jenny. Thanks so much for listening out there. We really appreciate your support and helping spread the word about the Awesome Office Show. If you like what you heard, please make sure you tell a friend about us, and also rate and review us on iTunes. Really, really, really appreciate it. This podcast grows by word of mouth, and you're a super important member of this community. Rock and roll. Now go and have a really awesome and ridiculously fantastic day.